It is by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me has not been in vain. Please be seated. I've been joking with some of you that this should really be the easiest Easter Day sermon to write. The calendar kind of makes it so, don't you think? I could just show you a picture, right, of Jesus standing in the garden, pointing at the empty tomb and saying, "April Fool, I'm not dead." Speaking of, this is my oldest child's birthday on April Fool. She spent her whole life telling people it's her birthday at school and nobody believing her. Everybody say, "Happy birthday, Chelsea."
Happy birthday, Chelsea.
Wherever she is. I don't know where she is. She's in there. Okay. A very good friend of mine is a priest in Mississippi at a quite large parish, and he is infamous for getting up into the pulpit one Easter Sunday a few years ago, and he looks around at the overflow crowd, and he just gazes at them and says, "It's all true." And then he sat down. That was the whole sermon. And as tempting as it may be to do the same, the St. Simon's folks know you will not get off that easy this morning. I always have a few things to say, and none of them are part of any cosmic April Fool joke either. When my son Joseph was about 4 years old, we had acquired an old beat-up used Nintendo video game system in a garage sale and a couple of games that went with it. And like most kids these days, Joseph is a digital native, and he took to it like he was born knowing how to operate such things, and he could just do it all by himself. It didn't need any help. He had this favorite game. It was a Mickey Mouse adventure game. He loved to play it. And one day, he and I were at home, and he came to me and said, "Dad, I can't find my Mickey Mouse game anymore." So I said, "Well, where did you look for it?" He said, "I looked under the chair, I looked under the couch, I looked everywhere around the TV. I can't find it anywhere." So I prayed and asked God to help me find it. Well, I was a little bemused, but kind of impressed, too, that this little four-year-old would pray for God to help him. So I said, "Joseph, what did God say?" And Joseph said, "Well, I just asked God if he would help me look for it, and God said, no." So my first thought was, my son hears God talking. That's about the time I was in discernment for whether to even go into ordained ministry or not, and I sure wanted a loud, clear answer from God for all of my questions, and my four-year-old was having conversations with God the whole time. My second thought was, "Oh, Joseph, you asked God for help, and God said no. I wonder if that would turn him into an atheist or something worse, like a Methodist." I had no idea what would happen to him. He just shrugged it off, though, and of course, when his mother came home, she found the game in about 2 seconds. Y'all know what that's like, men, right? But I've never forgotten his response. God said no. If you've been journeying with us during this Lenten and Holy Week season at St. Simon's, you've heard me definitely ask you to try to immerse yourself in the process, in the journey of Lent and Holy Week, to not rush to Easter too fast. Because we need the story. We need the cross before the empty tomb makes any sense to us. And if you've done that, I hope that has been a spiritual and meaningful experience for you. But also know the truth is that many of you are here today are not regular attendees of any church, but you're here. You came. For today, you're all in, body and presence, and I hope mind and heart as well, for something led you here today. And whatever that is, I am grateful for it. It's a theologian named Andrew Schmemann who said, "The procession that we see coming down the aisle at the beginning of church is not when the procession really starts. It starts when all of us back our cars out of our driveways. It's a holy moment because it's a holy choice. And you're here, and I'm grateful that you're here. It's a blessing, really, for you to worship with us, and you bless us with your presence, so thank you." So whether you're a regular or not, perhaps some of you can relate to that gospel you just heard proclaimed with the women at the tomb and particularly Mark's version of the resurrection story. It must have seemed so scary to them, don't you think? The empty tomb. They arrive, they're prepared to anoint a dead body with burial spices. They expected Jesus to have happened to Jesus what happens to every dead body, to stay dead. And on the way, did you hear that? They wonder, how are we going to roll that heavy stone back from the opening of the tomb to do what we've come to do? Maybe that's you. Maybe something is blocking your way to God, your way to life in Jesus Christ, life as we were meant to live it, life as we were created to live it, because we get so distracted from that. Maybe you can ask yourself, as I do at times, what stone is in the path, blocking the door that God really needs you to enter? Is it fear? Is it this never, ever, ever ending race that all of us have been sucked into, tricked into believing that we have to run? You know what I mean. The race for perfect smiles and the latest phones and the fastest cars and the biggest house and the best clothes and of course, the most involved, decorated, overextended championship children on the block. And that race is exactly what we call it, a rat race. And as I've reminded you before, even the winner of the rat race at the end is still a rat. What's blocking you? Perhaps like the women in the story, it is fear. Fear of really committing to God. Fear of what that would change in you. What would your life be like if you did that? Are you afraid of that? Do you worry about that? None of these things, these wrong paths, these destructive decisions, these attempts we make at trying to bring real joy and satisfaction into life through other means, they all fail in the end. None of our participation in any of that disqualifies us or stops us or rock blocks us from the truth above all truths that was revealed first to Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome at a gravesite in a garden where the stone had already been moved. Because God said no. God said no for you and for me. There's a young man waiting for them in that empty tomb, dazzling white. He's an angel. And they suddenly realize they have no need for these burial spices that they had carried with them. Because that angel says to them the most incredible and beautiful and important words ever uttered on the earth. He is not here. He is risen. Go and tell. He is risen. Because God said no. No to darkness and death. No to hate. No to greed. No to the rat race that goes nowhere. God said, no, death, you no longer have your sting. No, grave, you no longer hold the victory. God said no to all of us, to you and I, about carrying the burden of our sins that's been washed away for us. God said no for good people to ignore the poor and the meek who are crying out for help. God said no to a life of despair and no to the evil and wicked ways of the world. God said no. God said no to feeling hopeless, for hope has come. God said no to the darkness because light has overcome it. God said no to any of you, any of us being trapped in sin or shame or thinking for one second that we don't get to participate in the grace and love of God no matter what has happened in our lives to this point. God said no for you and you and you and even you and even me. Whether you are here every single Sunday or just today, God proclaims no to all of that for your sake. This gospel ends strangely by saying the women fled and said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. But we know better, don't we? The story doesn't end there, because God did not leave them in that fearful state. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. The first preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ were these women. They did go and tell, as the angel told them to. Starting with the disciples, who changed from these cowering, fearful doubters into brave, skilled, passionate preachers of the good news of Jesus Christ, risking everything, including their lives, to share that news of an empty tomb everywhere they went. God looked upon these brave women and helped them say no to their fear. And God says no to ours too. No to all that stuff that distracts us, takes us away, tricks us from this amazing, incredible, joyous, exciting, life-changing, forever good news of Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead on that first Easter morning for you, for me. He is not here. Can you imagine what that felt like to hear those words? He is risen. Go and tell. Because God said no. And that's no April Fool's joke, my friends. For you and for me, it is all true. Amen.